Welcome to BizMag podcast. I'm Dr. Vanita Agarwal, CEO and founder of Law Strategic Advisors and BizMag Media. Today, our guest speaker is Ms. Freddie from United States. I'm welcoming you, Ms. Freddie, on our show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's my honor. You're welcome.
Dear audience, I would briefly introduce Ms. Freddie to you so that you know, before going our video interview, that who is she and why she's here. As Pittsburgh's Lady of the Blues, as she is known, Ms. Freddie keeps the blue alive in her hometown. Ms. Freddie began singing in a church at a very young age. The influences of church and her mother's love of blues music gave her the foundation to venture in the world of blues music in 1996. She joined BMW, which is Blues Music Works, under the direction of Big L. Levitt. In 2002, Ms. Freddie went on to form Blue Phase, and several years later, she started two bands, Ms. Freddie's Blues Band, which is Electric Blues, and Ms. Freddie's Home Cook in Band, which is acoustic blues and classic rock gospel. She influences including Coco Taylor, Etta James, Billie Holiday, Sarah Vaughan, Big Mama Thornton, Bessie Smith, and Big Al Lewitt. Her charity works include Ready for Life American Cancer Society Pink Day in Leechburg, PA for Breast Cancer Research Foundation, Seeing Carnes Blues for a Cure, local VFWs, and American Legends. Toys for Tots, Homeless Veterans, Band Together Pittsburgh, and Sing to Stop Domestic Violence, to name a couple of these. She has won past blues competitions, 2008 West Virginia Blues Society for Best Blues, and 2012 Blues Society for Western PA Best Duo Solo Act. In 2014, Ms. Freddie was awarded the Star Award from the Pittsburgh VA Medical Center for her work with veterans. She was awarded the 2015 Freedom from Silence Award from the Center for Victims. Ms. Freddie has won in the Iron City Rocks Awards for Best Blues Band in 2016, 2017, and 2019. Wow, what an achievement. Her self-released CD, Lady of the Blues, won for the best album in 2017. In 2018, Ms. Freddie was nominated for two Blues Foundation Awards, one of Best Emerging Artist CD, and the other one was the Coco Taylor Traditional Blues Female. Her latest single, Something to Believe In, is from her forthcoming gospel album, scheduled for 2021 release. Wow. What a biography I am reading today. It's my pleasure and honor to meet you, Ms. Freddie, on this platform. So I would start with, how would you describe your journey from your childhood to this much applauded position?
Thank you. Thank you very much. My journey was challenging as a child and rewarding. A great experience, a tough experience. I grew up with a family of four and I was the oldest. And my mom, you know, she raised us and she loved blues and my dad loved country. And believe it or not, I didn't like either one of those growing up. I couldn't stand it, but you could not tell your parents that. Both of my parents are from the South, so they have their Southern roots. As time went on, I started singing in a neighborhood with a couple friends. We would just play around and I was kind of athletic. I got into playing basketball, track and field. I was a cheerleader. And then I joined the high school band. I played the flute. At 16, I taught myself to play acoustic guitar, violin, and viola. I love the string instruments, but then I went on to the flute and I taught myself the flute. And I played it up until I was about 21, and then I stopped. Haven't touched it since last year. So my journey, it has been a challenge with everything that I have been through. And I try to remember my lessons learned, my experiences, what my parents taught me, even my siblings. I was the oldest, so my mother was very strict on me. Whereas my siblings kind of got away with a lot of things that I couldn't do.
I didn't understand.
Yeah, but it was okay. It was okay. I didn't understand that in the beginning, but as I became a parent, I'm a mother of two sons. And they are wonderful. I love my children. I've always wanted to have children, and then I had my children. So it was a journey, me becoming a nurse, musician, all wrapped in one. It's just from my life experiences, what I wanted to do and what I wanted to give back to the world.
Great. I can understand, because I am also being the eldest one, but I feel, yes, parents being stricter or being more expecting out of you, it makes you know, it's kind of polishing a piece of stone into a gem. So that those qualities also come into you by taking those kind of responsibilities at an early age. So Freddie, tell us something, because when I was, going through your website, I came to know that you are a cancer survivor. Would you like to share something on that part?
Yeah, as a nurse, my specialty now is GI surgical oncology, working in a clinic. But before that, I worked in a hospital, and I found my niche. I really like taking care of the surgical patients. That was my thing to do. And then I started taking care of surgical oncology patients, which were the cancer patients, breast cancer, colon, rectal, whatever surgery they had. I took care of them post-op until one day, and I thought I was doing everything, doing my breast exams once a month, making sure I don't feel for lumps, making sure, you know, no other things were going on. And it was found by accident by my OBGYN, who's such a good doctor. He passed away several years ago, but I went to him for one thing, and he said, by the way, when was your last mammogram? And I looked at him like, I never had one. He's like, you should have one. And so he sent me for the mammogram. And after a few months of them just, you know, they had to re-image me, do imaging again, came up with breast cancer on the right side. And I was very devastated.
Of course. I
cried for 24 hours straight. Like, I could not stop crying. I cried in my sleep. I couldn't eat. You know, I was so sad and so angry and so, and I was in such denial and I was so depressed. And I said, but I'm a nurse. How could this happen to me? I did my breast exams, you know, didn't feel anything, nothing. I went to my yearly OBGYN, nothing. And, so my mother called me one day on the phone, and I was just sobbing. I was just bawling. And she said, she really couldn't say much, because my mother, may she rest in peace, she had breast cancer herself the year I graduated from nursing school. And she said to me, she said, you know, you have to take care of your kids. You got to think of your kids. And so after a while, after our conversation, we hung up, you know, I stopped crying. And I said, you know, my mother's right. She's the matriarch of our family. She's been through some tough times herself. It's like, I am my mother's child. I'm the oldest. I have to think about the kids. And so, you know, I prayed a lot. I've been praying since my oldest was born. But I really prayed. And I got through it. I had great surgeons. Great friends, coworkers. And then I knew it was coming back a second time, and it did in 2004. First time was 98, second time 2004 in the left. And I went to my surgeon and I said, I think it's back. And he's like, nah. I said, I think it's back. So he did the biopsy in the office 3 days later. It's positive. When do you want to have surgery? I said next week, because I've already taken off next week. And 2004 was rough because I developed infections. I couldn't get my chemo till this happened in February. So from February, September, and they really don't like to wait that far out to give chemotherapy. But I said, I want it. I used to give chemo. I already know the ups, the downs, the side effects, the goods, the bads. So stubborn me, after the first week of my first chemo, I developed infection. I was sick, but I was ignoring it. I was in the study with the studio with my oldest son and one of his cousins. They were recording a hip hop album and they wanted some blues on it. And I didn't feel good. And I said, I'll do a couple. And you know, I went to the hospital. By the time I got to the hospital, my temperature was 104. I was delirious. And they told me had I waited another day, I probably wouldn't be here to, you know, do what I do. So that was I call that the rough journey, the rough, right, stubborn journey.
And it's good to see that you have come out of it.
Yes.
It's very inspiring.
Yes. Yeah.
And God bless you and your kids. You'll be out of these kind of rough times in future.
So my oncologist in 2014, he's like, your scans have been good every year. He said, hopefully I never get to see you again, but if you need me, you got my number. So I've not needed him and we're into 2021. I'm thankful, yay. And I haven't had any signs or anything of cancer. So thank God every day.
Thank God. Yeah. I can relate to that feeling. You know, kids become poles of strength in such rough times, because the only thing that inspires or motivates a mother is that she has to live through for the kids, particularly when they are young and they are small and they need their mother's care. And nobody in this world can care as a mother can care. That is a fact. So dear audience,
I agree with that.
Please hear out what Miss Freddie is sharing. It's not easy. Believe me, it's not easy to share once such painful times again and again for public view. But she's sharing here to motivate, you know, if some of you are going through such phases, please be up and think about your kids. If you do not have kids, then think about your parents and fight against it, and you would be up one day. Thank you, Ms. Freddie, for sharing these challenges of your life and how you came out of it. So, Ms. Freddie, coming to your music part, how you came from nursing to music? What was that part, that phase of your life?
That phase of my life, that journey, I was, at the time I was a nurse, and I was singing one of my favorite songs, Silent Night. I was singing it a cappella to my youngest, who was little at the time. And guy that I was dating was a bass player in a blues band. And he heard me sing and he's like, I didn't know you could sing. And I said, I didn't know I could sing either. And he's like, well, we're looking for a singer for a blues band. And I was very hesitant. I just said to myself, oh no, because I have stage fright very badly. It's not as bad as it used to be, but it's still there. And he convinced me, and I went to audition with that band, Blues Music Works. They were in one room, and they had a 100-foot-long microphone cord with the mic, and I took it into the bathroom next door, closed the door, turned on the water, and I started singing, and that's how I got in a band. And there are a few friends who are still around that remember that. That's how that journey began. And it wasn't easy, because my first year in that band, as the band would face the audience, I sat behind the band in a chair and faced the wall. I faced away from the audience. I did that for a year until Big Al said, you know, people are going to want to hear you. And I said, but they can hear me already. He says, that's not what I mean. He says, you know what I mean. In his way. And he said, okay, they can hear you, but they want to see what they're hearing. You know, they want to take a look. And I was just very scared for many, many years. It took me quite some time to come out of it. He said, you're just going to have to work yourself out of it. And I did. I now pretend it's me sitting in the audience saying to me on the stage, my friends told me about you. I don't like blues. I want to hear what you have to sing. Keep me here for at least an hour. I paid this money for you. Like, I'm very hard on myself as the person in the audience, and I'm saying this. And so, and I still do that to this day. I do that to this day, and I'm comfortable with doing that. So I consider myself putting on a show for myself so that I don't scare myself to death.
So audience, you are listening to Miss Freddy. She's multiple time award winner, and she's telling how to keep away the fear of stage to perform at the best level, the top level.
Yeah.
So that's another motivating, you know, that's a very significant tip for those who have stage fright. Many of them actually go numb or just go, you know, mute. Seeing yes. such a large audience.
Yes.
I can understand that part.
Yeah, that it's, I think my stage fright is worse when I am playing in a new venue.
Mm-hmm.
Or a festival I've never done before. That's where my stage fright, it heightens. And then I remember I have a saying, which I've adopted myself, what I do is not mine to keep. It is not mine to be, no matter how afraid I am. It is not right for me to hold back, because the audience is here to see and to, you know, watch. See, watch, and hear. They are here to have a good time, to forget their troubles, because they're loyal fans to the music, period, whether it's my music, other bands who may be featured, or if it's just my band. So, you know, you have to keep that in mind. You know, this is not about you, the individual. This is about your bandmates and your audience and the venue.
Great tip, that is. And great going. Using different, like you have already, you know, spelled out two things. One is to separate your personality from the performer to a listener. So you feel like you are a listener instead of being a performer, and you are performing your show only for yourself. And the second tip that you shared is that you are not here for yourself. You are here for that audience who have spent maybe money to come here, watch, and, you know, have a look at you and to have good time. So for yes. them, you need to come out of your cage and just perform fearlessly.
Yes. And don't pretend. My whole thing is, don't pretend that, you know, you're having a good time, because people will sense that. And I know with me, I really have to hide my emotions. If I'm just having a bad day, or if I don't feel good, or, you know, if just my mood is just, you know, I have to come out of that. And I can't pretend to smile, have a fake smile. I can't pretend, like, I can't be fake about it. You know, I have to, what I do before every show that I do with either one of my bands, or if I'm a guest singer with other musicians, I pray. And I just ask God, please, you know, guide me through this, because this is what you have me to do. And I love doing this. And I know it's not about me. And then all of a sudden, I feel so much better. I really do. It may be a little bit, or it may be a lot, but I feel so much better. And it's like, wow, this feels good. Okay, it's my time. Here I go. And it's like that for the whole show. And then when I'm done, you know, I can just take a deep breath and I can relax, and I could say, okay, I did it. I had a lot of help and I did it, and it felt good.
Great. So Miss Freddy, tell us something about your upcoming show, and where can my audience, you know, access it?
So I have a few upcoming shows before the year's out. I'm doing one tomorrow here in downtown Pittsburgh, Market Square. It's through the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership. And actually, they've contracted me a lot in the last 3 years to do performances. I also have a duo act too. So it's the acoustic guitar player from the Home Cooking Band. We do a lot of duo shows, and we have one tomorrow that we're doing from 5 p to 7 p. And if you want to know, you know, just check out where I'm at. If you know someone here in the state, someone here in my area, some of my shows will be live stream on Facebook. You can go on missfreddie.com, missfreddye.
Great. We will put that website address into the description of YouTube channel and podcast description, along with the bio of Miss Freddie. It was really entertaining, you know, and inspirational, motivational. I could relate to so many things with you, Miss Freddie, being a mom myself. God bless you. God bless your dreams to come true. And may we be entertained with more and more music albums of yours and live shows, you know, because you must be feeling, you are so full of energy. I'm sure the audience which are listening to you and have been blessed with live shows of yours must be getting that energy vibes from you into their own lives also. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, you're so welcome. And thank you for having me. Thank you, everyone out there. I do appreciate it. And that comes from my heart. I'm just not saying it because I'm on this podcast. That's how I am. I'm with that with my patients. I'm with that with my friends. I'm with that with my family. I'm with that with everyone and strangers alike. And you know, what's nice about being that way is you have people who come up who have been following you, you know, whether I'm a nurse or a musician, and they're like, we just love coming to see you. You have this energy. You're so positive. You're focused. I said, because this may be the last show. Every show that I do, I act like it's my last show. I won't see you all anymore. I said, so I have to do something. I want it to be memorable. So thank you.
All the best. And keep safe. Stay long.
Thank you, and same to you and everybody, no matter what or who. Don't let nothing or nobody drag your spirit down.